It's time for the one show that looks at life from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. Our guest is Barry Demp, Master Certified Coach, resident of the great state of Michigan, and he will be with us in just a minute. But hold on, before we get to that, if you're listening to this show live, then you're on octalkradio.net. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests from the past. Well, what do you do with your favorite quotes? We're going to tell you in a minute. Barry Demp, Master Certified Coach, has coached more than 1,000 individuals, worked with hundreds of companies, and trained 60 coaches himself. In 1999, he became the first International Coach Federation Master Certified Coach in Michigan. Way to go, Barry. Barry says, quote, "Coaching is who I am, not just what I do for a living." He spends his time helping individuals and organizations master the leadership, management, communication, and coaching skills needed in today's competitive and rapidly changing world. He has over 29 years of sales and business development experience, including sales and marketing with a Fortune 500 company. Well, let's start right off. Number 72, life is a great big canvas and you should throw all the paint you can on it. That's a quote that Barry posted on his blog today. Barry, welcome to The Coaching Perspective.
Thanks, Doug.
Hey, it is great to have you here. I have been looking forward to this all week.
Me too.
Well, good. So, life is a great big canvas and you should throw all the paint you can on it. What do you mean by that?
Well, obviously we all have an opportunity to interpret things, but, you know, if you think about life as an opportunity to live, you know, a wide variety and a wide series of activities, you know, it's most people, when we look at coaching, want, you know, a full and complete and happy and fully expressed life. So if you think about pain as the experiences and you think of the canvas, the simple the size and the magnitude of your life, you know, going for everything and wanting it all, most people would say that would be a good way to go. So the idea of living a full and fully expressed life in our work and in our personal lives and in our relationships, most people would like to have no regrets at the end of that journey, and grab a big canvas and throw a lot of paint would be the way to approach it.
Well, Barry, from what I know of you, I mean, you are painting a huge canvas, not only in Michigan, not only in the coaching world, but everywhere. So let's find out a little bit more about you. Tell our audience about what you did before your current business.
Well, I was born and raised in Philadelphia, and my first professional pursuits were in the teaching profession. So my first career was as a middle school teacher in the Philadelphia area. So I think the fundamental interest in learning and my own growth and development was kind of fundamental to things. From the teaching profession, I shifted over to the pharmaceutical industry, and I worked for a company called Upjohn, where I was in sales and marketing and advertising. And about almost 20 years ago, I resigned from the Upjohn company to pursue this thing called business and executive coaching.
Okay, so that brings us up to now. So tell us about, or at least up to 20 years ago, tell us about your business.
Well, I guess the story of how I got into the coaching profession would be probably worthwhile, because in many ways it was a very kind of inside-out kind of journey. My company, the Upjohn Company, was going through some change management initiatives. And it was a good program, but I noticed that the program didn't stick once we got back from the program. And that seemed to be the case with most forms of training and most forms of development, that we learn something, you read a book or go to a seminar, and weeks later, it's simply a memory and a binder on the shelf. So what I was looking for was something that stuck and provided sustainability. And it was actually in 1992, while I was watching the 1992 Barcelona Olympic Games, that I saw every athlete living in the village had a coach. And that seemed to be a way of creating sustainability and stickiness to what people learned.
Great analogy. I like that, especially this week now that we just wrapped up the current Olympics. But you're right. All coaches have all athletes have a coach either to represent them or to help train them. So, yeah, why not business people?
Well, I consider business probably one of the biggest games on the planet, and why not look at our professional and also our personal lives as the playing field that we're working on? So the idea was to have support and some encouragement and some partnership to pursue both the professional and personal objectives that we have, kind of with the phrase of winning like a gold medal life.
Okay. So tell me, Barry, as you started out, what were you didn't just suddenly become successful. Maybe you did. I'd like to hear that. But
most people, when they start everything, there's plenty of things that get in the way. Time is an issue. Money is an issue. For me, in the very beginning stages of the coaching career, I was really just making it up. So I thought that this idea of coaching would be a great idea, but nobody knew what it was at the time, including myself. So I would wake up each morning, tell people I was a business coach. They'd say, "What's that?" And they would wish me well. But for the most part, I didn't make a single penny for about 3 months. And then people started saying, "Well, that's interesting. And how does that work?" And people would give me a chance. And I would work with them and just ask them about their vision and their goals and what they wanted. And we would provide, projects and support structures for them to be more in action with a little bit more courage and a little bit more oomph, so that they would make progress faster than they would on their own and to perhaps a higher degree.
Okay. And how did that work for you?
Well, actually, it worked pretty well to the point where once I was into my coaching career about 6 months, I had equaled my Fortune 500 income. And that was a very good thing because in the very beginning, I made nothing. So it was a real leap of faith that I had some, instinctual aspect of, this was what I was meant to do. And it just felt so right. And in face of all the obstacles and the no's and the skepticism that was out there in the very beginning, I just felt that it was meant to be, and it was a conversation that simply was a matter of time. And it turned out to be right. Today there's almost 50,000 coaches worldwide. And, I'd like to say that I was in the early stages of things.
Well, you certainly were. Tell me a little bit about your decision to become a certified coach. I mean, you're a master certified coach, certainly a designation that you're very proud of.
Sure. Well, I had actually been working as a coach for 2.5 to 3 years, and about the only thing I knew about the profession was that there was an individual named Thomas Leonard and an organization called Coach University at the time. And he was a very prolific writer in and around the area of coaching, so I kind of garnered anything that I could find about that subject. He even wrote a book called The Portable Coach back then. Around that time, I found out that there was going to be a meeting of coaches, and they were going to meet in Houston, Texas, and I figured since I was a coach, I should jump on an airplane. So I did, and I found out that there were about 325 other people that were kind of making this thing up called coaching, and that was really in the early years. So I actually attended the second annual International Coach Federation meeting in Houston and literally participated and attended those meetings for about a dozen years, and eventually a few years later, back in the latter 90s, they created a certification process. And if I was going to put my efforts behind something, I wanted to be as good as I could possibly be. And it seemed like pursuing a certification was the way to go.
Okay. And if I remember right, too, you were instrumental in creating a regional coaching group in Michigan?
Yeah. In Michigan, we had what we call a chapter of the International Coach Federation, and we would hold meetings every other month for the coaching community, and the meetings would be on Saturdays once every 2 months for about 3 hours. And that's how we kind of built some critical mass in our coaching community and how we were able to support one another and train and coach one another as the industry was evolving.
Okay. You know, Barry, there's I'll digress for a minute. There's a question that I like to ask all of our guests, and I sort of warned you about this, is what experience or key lesson have you learned that has really sort of created your guiding principle that you hold on to as what you use to guide you in your business and in your life? Can you share that with us?
Sure. Well, I think one of the things that's true for myself and true for the people that I work with is that we want to make a connection between kind of who we are as people and how we express who we are in the things that we do. So through my own journey and through my own profession, you know, I've pursued and created my own personal vision statement, my own personal mission statement, you know, based upon my values and my beliefs. So, you know, I'm very interested in things like health and fitness. I'm interested in extraordinary relationships and great accomplishments. I'm a fundamental believer that integrity is the foundation for all things. You know, human dignity, respect, and leadership, and being courageous, those are all kind of factors that are kind of hardwired into myself. So those are some guiding principles and guiding perspectives that inform my behaviors and inform my actions and have had me be able to express those through my coaching.
Okay. You know, I'm sorry about that. I lost my train of thought there for a minute. Must be the weather here today. I don't know what it's like in Michigan, but in California, it is very warm this week.
Well, anytime we don't have snow here in Michigan, we're pretty pleased. So this is a good time of the year for us.
Barry, on your website, let's talk a little bit about your business and current business and what it is you do and how you offer that. You break down your service into four groups: business leaders, executives, owners, professional service providers, and coaches. Let's talk a little bit about each one of those and what are the differences between them. What are the differences in how you coach them, and how did you come about these distinctions?
Well, you know, I guess I've been my website has been up and running in this iteration for about a year and a half to 2 years. And when I look back on my career at the people that I worked best with and the people that I was most satisfied myself seem to fit into these categories. So when we look at executives and business leaders, these are people that fundamentally have to produce results with and through other people. So the focus in working with those folks is developing and expanding leadership capacities, empowered management skills, helping those people be coaches in their own right, and helping them master the relationships and interactions that people have with each other. In Michigan, I'm also on the board of directors of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. And the Troy Chamber has a little over 700 individual businesses, most of which have a very small number of people. So when you work with the business owner as an individual, that person is everybody from HR to operations to business development and janitor at the same time. So when you can work with the business owner and help them individually be effective and amortize their value over their small teams of people, that's another easy, focused area that a coach can work in. When we look at professional service providers, that includes accountants and attorneys and bankers and financial advisors. And those people are always in a very competitive business. So how do you distinguish one attorney from another or one accountant from another? And differentiating yourself and having a little bit of an advantage is one of the reasons those folks, you know, engage coaches. And lastly, the domain of coaches. As a leader of the coaching community here in Michigan, I would, you know, as a volunteer, support that community. And as people would participate in the community, it just so happened that those people saw me, you know, well down the road to my own coaching practice. And some of those folks would ask, you know, can I help them and assist them in establishing a coaching practice and being effective? So those are the four main categories that seem to be the vast majority of the work that I've done over the last 20 years or so.
Barry, is there a big difference in the coaching that you do between these groups? I mean, they all have sort of a little different emphasis, but the actual mechanics or process of your coaching, is it very different from group to group?
Now, really, whenever you're dealing with people, you're really dealing with three or four major characteristics, and I would call those the softer skills of business. You're dealing with leadership and the ability to align and create futures that people buy into. You're dealing with a management structure where people are empowered to give their word and keep their word and move forward in some kind of collective enterprise. You're dealing with coaching where people are taking a stand for one another. So I'm here for you to be your best, and you're here for me to be my best. And then the last of the four areas would be just enhancing people's ability to create professional and personal relationships where people, you know, create trust and respect for one another and have them come together as communities to work together. So those four areas, leadership and management and coaching and relationship skills, are very fundamental to all four of those categories. And whenever you're dealing with a human being, those are just, you know, fundamental to those. They just happen to express them in different size organizations or different vocations.
Okay. And between the groups, is there one area that, you know, gives you personally more energy than another?
Well, it's kind of like having children. They're all your favorite, and you all love them the same. But in reality, I think my degree of interest today seems to be coaching what we would call the very high-impact leader. These are people that are not only interested in their own effectiveness, but have a highly leveraged position as senior executives in organizations or nonprofits or whatever it may be, so that we're talking about their effectiveness with their teams and their people and amortizing those interactions over a larger organization. So, you know, playing a bigger game and, you know, taking that higher perspective seems to be more interesting because you get your teeth into something a little bit bigger and juicier.
Okay. Now, you mentioned nonprofits. Do you coach nonprofits as a group also?
Well, nonprofits are actually organizations that have to be as effective and as competitive as for-profit organizations. So sometimes in the past I've done some pro bono work or have assisted organizations and even played facilitative role in our Chamber of Commerce, Board of Directors, and so on. So, you know, I've done some work, but I'd say that is a small portion of the work that I do.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your marketing. I am really impressed with the extent of your marketing, the variety of it from your very capable websites, I'm going to say, your blogging, your podcasts, and it goes on. Tell us a little bit about your overall marketing and how effective that has been for you and what kind of commitment you had to make to it.
Well, in the early years of my business, because I have a sales and marketing and advertising background, I was able to bring those skills from the Fortune 500 world to the enterprise of coaching. And in the very beginning, almost all of the marketing that was involved at that particular point in time was what we would call networking. So I would get involved with various communities. I would serve on boards of directors. I would give talks and speeches and so on. So the nose-to-nose and belly-to-belly interactions and shaking hands and having coffees and meeting people for lunch and interacting them in real time and being of service in various groups was a way in which people would get to know me and I would get to know them. And then based upon knowing one another, we would determine whether we liked each other and we would determine whether we actually had a sense of trust. But in the very beginning, you know, people would say, you know, interact with me, and yet nobody would hire me in the very beginning because they didn't have a whole lot of faith and there was not a whole large amount of evidence that this thing called coaching was actually viable. But after months or, you know, even years, people would see me still at it and say, hey, this guy doesn't seem to go away, and he seems to be having a good time doing what he's doing, and a couple people have actually worked with him, and they've said some nice things about that. So that was kind of the beginning years of the coaching profession and the way networking kind of worked. There's a book that was written years ago by Michael Port called Book Yourself Solid, and he refers to some of those strategies. As the years have progressed, you know, we've become more sophisticated with social media. So in the early years of, let's say, LinkedIn, I joined LinkedIn in 2003, and today have over, you know, 2,000 connections through that. So today's interview, I was able to announce that we were going to have this program to my universe of LinkedIn, which is over 2,000 people. I was also able to do that with my Facebook community as well as my Twitter community, and the potential people to see that that was going to happen. Some small percentage of those folks may say, I'd be interested in hearing about that program or whatever it would be. So that has provided a lot of leverage. The other thing that you noticed about my website is I tend to give a lot away. And I am a faithful believer in the phrase, you know, givers gain. So whether it's my podcast or even the three books that I've written, people can download those books from my website for free. And people say, well, gee, why do you give it away for free? Well, I actually want people to say, well, if you're giving that away free, what do you charge for? And would I be interested in chatting with you about the possibility of establishing a coaching relationship? So whether it's my books or the Quotable Coach or any of those other things, people can simply tap into that and get a piece of me for free. And some small percentage of those people want more and a more individual perspective, and that leads to coaching assignments, which pays the bills, as they say.
So it sounds like you're a firm believer that today's social media, if properly used, does in fact generate business.
Yeah, absolutely. This past year probably would be a good example that I could actually point to seven clients that actually were engaged my services with the direct assistance of the website and social media efforts.
Wow. Very good. I don't want to forget it, so I'm going to ask you right now, the three books that you wrote, you want to tell us a little bit about those books?
Well, it actually happened indirectly. My first blog, you know, you tend to blog about the things that you either know about or that you are pretty effective at. So the three books that I've written, one was on time management strategies, the second one is on masterful networking, and the third one is on masterful relationships. And those books really came out of an extensive amount of blogging. And, you know, the blogs were little kind of pieces and parts of that. So I decided rather than that's the only framework, we decided to piece those together into those three categories. And each of those books are between 30 and, let's say, 45 pages. And they're in a workbook format where they have content and exercises so that people can take the content and apply it to their professional and personal worlds. So you could literally download those three books. It's about a total of about 100 pages of content in either a PDF format, and recently it was put into an e-reader format like a Kindle or a Kindle app for an iPad.
Okay. And I'm trying to figure out where to put this in. You know, one of the things that really impressed me about what you do is that almost everything that you do then involves some work on the other party's side. In other words, as a coach, there's always this debate about, do I create homework for my clients? And I noticed, like, for instance, in your blog today that we talked about earlier, life being a big canvas, you then go on to ask, you know, how does this idea relate to the lives we're living today, following the rules, sticking to established procedures and conforming, and then you give an exercise. You know, what if you are simply a brilliant artist and your life is a masterpiece? How big a canvas, how much paint will you need? Consider doubling it. Talk a little bit about that as a follow-up and how it's worked for you or how you came
about. Well, you know, as an educator, I'm very, very interested in how ideas get applied and how ideas stick and how ideas turn into actual habits, and habits are sustainable. And unfortunately, if you look at the idea of, let's say, New Year's resolution, you know, we go into New Year's with great intentions, and usually over 90% of those New Year's resolutions don't stick. So the key that I've observed over the years is unless you have a way of applying an idea in real time over an extended period of time, the idea never converts into anything that's habitual and sticky. So the idea of giving somebody something to think about or to consider, but then to apply through action and effort, is a good example of what makes things stick. So if you look at those Olympic athletes from the London Olympics, every one of those people have practices that they engage in daily and weekly and on an ongoing basis. Even if you think about something as simple as boot camp, you know, a young recruit goes into boot camp for 3 months, and they are exercising their mind and their muscles and bodies so they transform themselves. So the whole idea of taking an idea and converting it into action is critical for us to learn and to have the ideas that we've learned stick.
And as you've mentioned, and as we've both observed, if you don't have a coach, if you don't have somebody watching over you, the chances of you self-disciplining yourself to work on that idea on a regular basis to where it becomes a new habit are fairly slim. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that's very true. If there's a kind of bottom line to coaching, and I'm a bottom line kind of guy, this idea of coaching simply does the following. I truly believe that working with a coach or working with a support structure like a coach helps people achieve more than they would ever achieve on their own and helps them achieve it faster. It doesn't mean people don't achieve great things all by themselves. But those athletes at the coach, those athletes in the Olympics, they absolutely all have coaches. It's not like some or even most. They all do. And the reason is that those 16,000 athletes are the best in the world at what they do. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a genius to see that there's a high degree of correlation. And today, our business professionals and business leaders and even people in their personal life are engaging coaches to take their professional and their personal lives to another level and to have a competitive advantage. The gentleman Thomas Leonard once said, if only 1% of the United States population had a coach, you would need over 50,000 coaches to do that work. So, you know, in our industry, which has been, you know, in process for about 20 years, over 60% of Fortune 500 companies have a coaching initiative going on. So it's very much growing.
Okay. I want to come back to that in just a minute, but we're getting ready to take a commercial break here, so don't go away, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that.
Okay.
Thanks, Barry.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481, or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Well, we're back. You're listening to The Coaching Perspective and our interview today with Barry Demp, Master Certified Coach, from Michigan. Not that that makes any difference with today's ability to coach people. And we're talking about follow-up and making what you learn sticky. You know, I like what you're saying, Barry. So many coaches think that coaching is done when you have mirrored back to the client what they're doing or what they're thinking or when you've helped them get a new perspective. But you're taking it a step further and saying that there is actually work to be done after that to create new habits. Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So in your regular coaching with business leaders, executives, professional service providers, how often in your sessions do you have follow-up work for your clients as a result of what you discussed in the session?
The phraseology, me having follow-up work for them, is, I guess I would call it a misnomer. It would be like they report to me or they have homework assignments and so on. What the coaching process is basically mapped on to their professional and personal life. So whether it's goals and objectives that they have or projects that they're implementing or relationships that they want to work on, whatever those projects, whatever those front-runner issues, whatever those relationships are, that's what we discuss. And through the discussions, there's usually an opening for some action to be taken. Based upon that opening for some action to be taken, they need to literally do something to forward that intention to achieve something in that area. And either they promise to do certain things to move it forward, or I'll simply make a request that they do so, so that they are in action to achieve the things that they want. If you want to call that homework, I guess it's homework. But it's really a matter of, you know, what are the promises that are being made between now and the next time we get together of actions they plan to take in pursuit of the achievements they would like to have, as opposed to I have some assignment for them on week one or week five or something like that.
You know, folks, what you're listening to is a master coach talk about what might seem like a minor distinction in terminology, but which is a major distinction in attitude. And I appreciate, Barry, you sort of correcting me on that, because it isn't homework. It is always about forwarding the client's intention and recognizing an opening for action. And good for you. What a nice way to put it. I will try to be as articulate in my future discussions as you just were about that. Well, look, let's take a few minutes and talk about the quotable coach. Tell us about that project.
Well, I'll tell you, that my first blog, I hate to admit, was pretty much a failure. And by a failure, I mean it didn't have very much readership and didn't have very, very much back and forth. And I think it took me almost 18 months to realize that it wasn't going so well. The only thing that came out of those preliminary blogs was the fact that I was able to create three books, and I had 400 or 500 people download those, and some people were getting value. So about 2.5 to 3 years ago, I purchased the domain from GoDaddy called The Quotable Coach, because I love quotes. I consider them nuggets and pearls of wisdom, and I like those things because I think they're efficient. But, you know, there's lots of quotes flying around everywhere, and I would literally collect them. So I had thousands and thousands of quotes that I collected. But the intention that I had was to eventually take those quotes and bring a coaching perspective. In other words, what do I think about the quote? What does it mean to me? How do I apply it? What stories kind of fit with that? And then based upon that interpretation and perspective, that if we could do that in 3 or 4 sentences, then that would kind of dig deeper into that quote and have greater meaning and greater significance. And then finally, if we could give people a question to ponder or an exercise to consider, there would be a way in like 30 seconds that people could apply that quote to their world, their life, their business, their relationships, and have it actually make a difference. So the critical factor, I think, to the success of the Quotable Coach is that people can get those nuggets all in about 30 seconds. And that's about all people are willing to give these days in terms of their attention. So we lucked out on a good format. I hopefully have selected quotes that I found interesting and that other people find interesting. And I guess the best result I could say is of all the people who have signed up for it, only one person has actually, you know, unsubscribed in the 3 months that we've done this. So I'm very, I hope that continues, but that seems to be good news that people are getting value and so on.
Wow. You've only been doing this 3 months?
This project is only 3 months in its process. You know, when you see quote 73 or whatever it is, that means 73 days, Monday through Friday. So if you divide that by, you know, the number of weeks, it's only about 3 months or so.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I am enjoying it. And ever since I first met you, I have been following it. And I like quotes also. And but I had never, I think you've taken it beyond just liking a quote. Liking a quote is, you know, that's nice. And then I can't remember it 10 minutes later. But with exercises and sort of a stimulating conversation to go along with it, they become much more meaningful and they become much more memorable. So thank you for that.
That's kind of music to my ears, you know, to all the world about that. And I really do appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, sharing this pet project that I'm enjoying very much.
Well, I think it's a great project. To call it a pet project makes it sound small. It is huge. I think you're going to have a big impact if you can survive doing this on a daily basis.
Well, I do most of my writing on the weekends, and then I work with my own coach to help edit and get these things into the right formats.
Okay. Barry, what have, you know, I'm not wrapping this up right now, but I want to know, I want to just touch base with you. What have we not talked about that you'd like to share with our audience? I've been kind of directing this, and sometimes I miss real nuggets. And
sure. Well, you know, a couple of my focuses as a coach, you know, having done this a long time, you know, it's easy to sit down with somebody and having a couple conversations about their priorities or what they're working on. But most of my coaching relationships are a minimum of about 6 months long. So one of the things that I designed in the early years of my coaching is a process that I call a personal excellence training process. And that begins with an entire full day with an individual or team. And that is then combined with 6 months of coaching, usually on a weekly basis. Most of my clients here in southeastern Michigan actually meet with me face-to-face. So I generally meet with my clients, about 60% of them, in person, and about 30% of my clients meet with me over the phone or through Skype, and only about 10% of my work is actually done on-site with my clients. But this idea of packaging surveys and assessments and a workshop and ongoing coaching and laser coaching, all of those components combine to provide a very sticky and sustainable way of making advancements professionally and personally very quickly. Now with the Quotable Coach, a good majority of my clients actually subscribe to the Quotable Coach, and even though we may not be talking every day, they get a little tiny nugget and a little bit of a reminder to be working on their lives and working on their careers on a daily basis. So that's enhancing the results and the efforts and the sustainability of what we've been doing beyond the weekly coaching sessions we may have.
I got confused here somewhere. You were saying that 60%, I thought, was one-on-one, 30% phone, 10% on-site. What is the 60% again?
The 60% is what I call in-person coaching. So my office is here in southeastern Michigan, and the vast majority of all my clients are physically in southeastern Michigan. And clients will literally leave their office to come to my office to have their coaching session in person.
Okay.
Now,
so
when
that
that's
is
not
a, that
possible,
is a huge
30% of the clients that I work with will actually do it by phone or through something, vehicle like a Skype. And then about 10% of the time, I will go to their organization because there may be a team or a group of people, and it's just much more efficient for me to physically be on site with them. But they're all within a modest geographic range.
Now, this 60% that's actually traveling to come to you, this is for generally a six-month program, and this is weekly coaching?
That's right.
And how long are your sessions?
Usually they're just under an hour.
Okay. I have to admit, I don't think I have ever heard of another coach that has that substantial number of people, if any, coming to them. That is unique.
Well, as a coach, we have an opportunity to actually design our business. And when we design our business, from the pharmaceutical industry, we used to work in our territories by zip code. And to be efficient and to be effective and to be most productive, the more laser-like and the more focused geographically you can be, the more easy it is to serve people. So if they only have to drive under 5 miles or 5 minutes to get to my office, they're perfectly willing to do that on the way to work, or they're willing to do that at lunch, or they're willing to do that because they can get back to their offices in 10 minutes. And if that's just once a week, that's a good investment to have a discreet and focused conversation outside their normal interruptions, you could say.
Okay. And I love the way your quotable coach material then sort of keeps tabs on them. That's the wrong term, but sort of keeps you in front of them on a daily basis. That kind of follow-through is very powerful, I'm sure.
Well, it's like going to the gym and doing an exercise. If you went to a gym once a week, you wouldn't get in great shape. But if you were exercising and applying a tool or a skill or a muscle daily, you would build strength into that muscle and greater flexibility into that muscle. So stickiness and sustainability is all about ongoing effort and ongoing action to kind of remold and reshape that. So the quotes allow people, even if it's 30 to seconds to a minute, to do a little work on a daily basis.
Barry, from this conversation and other conversations I've had with you, my impression is you are very process-oriented, and I don't mean that in a negative way to take away from being intuitive, but you have really developed processes to provide your services. Do you feel that's what has allowed you to expand and to be so successful?
Well, I'll answer that question kind of indirectly. One of the, I guess, the focuses that I have, especially when I do organizational work, is building what I would call a coaching culture. And if I have this ability to coach people, and it seems to be extremely intuitive and organic completely, that makes it difficult for other people to do the same thing. So if there are tools or concepts or models or approaches that can be duplicated and easily copied and have very few steps to it, then that can be applied and mastered by even a beginning person. Like, for instance, I have a process that's simply called a pivot point. And it's a three-step process of coaching that assesses the reality of a situation, the vision for the situation, and the plan of action to bridge that gap. So I'll tell a client that if you can count to three, you can be a coach. And in many ways, it's really that simple. Now, it's not that simple, but if we start with one, two, three, and repeat it for 6 months, you can get pretty good at that. So my job is to leave people in a self-sustaining place so that they have that stickiness beyond even the scope of my relationship with them, and that it lasts beyond our relationship, as opposed to it only happens when I'm providing the coaching. So your comment regarding processes is accurate in that one of the goals that I have is to, in some ways put myself out of business a little bit so that the sustainability exists within the individual or the organization.
Okay. And what is the sort of target organization? How would you describe sort of the ideal organization that you like to do business with?
Well, organizations are simply groups of people, and I'm attracted to groups of people that are progressive and innovative and have high integrity and are looking to make a difference and contribute value. So it could be almost any kind of business, but it's really the kinds of people and the kinds of values that those people express. So just like my vision informs my behavior and is authentic to me, I'm attracted to people who have similar visions and values and commitments as well. And they could be in banking or they could be in automotive. It really doesn't matter. It does matter the kind of qualities and characteristics of the people. On my website, there's a section called Coaching Assessments. And in those assessments, I help people identify whether they and I will be a good fit and a good candidate for each other. And we determine readiness and value through those assessments. So in some ways, I project out to the world what I'm looking for and what I'm all about, and they project back to me what they're all about and what they're up to. And when there's a good fit, then I actually ask them to hire me. And many times it works.
Very good. Barry, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this conversation today. I feel like it's not just been a great interview, it's been a great learning opportunity for me, and I'm sure the rest of our audience feels the same way. So as we get ready to wrap up, anything else you want to pass on to the audience and in addition to how they get in touch with you?
Well, for those people who want to get in touch with me, there's many ways. I'm actually open to a phone call. You know, people can call me at 248-740-3231. They can email me at barry@dempcoaching.com. I would encourage them to, if they are exploring coaching or whatever it is, you know, go to my website and pick and choose and look at what you like. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, using that as a frame of reference that applies to them as well. I would encourage them to download the books. They're free. And I would love if they would consider signing up for the Quotable Coach. You just go to thequotablecoach.com, put your name and email, and you'll get a little 30-second quote with commentary and an exercise just Monday through Friday. I didn't do it on the weekends because I didn't want anybody to get to the office on Monday and see a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then start deleting all three of them. So the fact that there's only five seems to make it a little bit more desirable.
I appreciate your sensitivity to having a little balance in our life. Thank you very much. Hey, Barry, it's been wonderful talking with you again, and thank you very much for taking the time to be on the show.
I'm very, very appreciative of the opportunity to speak with you. I enjoyed our meetings even before this call today, and I sincerely appreciate your effort and your ongoing commitment of over 4 years to provide the coaching perspective to our industry, because you know, it's going to continue to grow, and I think you're a valuable part of that. So thank you.
Barry, thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening, and welcome as an official member of the Coaching Perspective community.
Thanks so much. Take care, Doug.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, we've been listening to Barry Demp, Master Certified Coach. A great interview. If you've tuned in late, catch the podcast. It'll be up on Monday or Tuesday. On our website, you can also catch it on octalkradio.net. I'm sure you'll be able to catch it on Barry's site. So, hey, we're going to be out there with this. This is, I'll tell you, this is one I'm going to go back and listen to again myself. Well, let me just say that, you know, we here at the Coaching Perspective, we've been actively coaching business owners and executives for over 18 years. Here in Orange County, working with both existing and new management teams and project teams. In all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual member. So we work with individual coaches from the top executive to the newest entry-level position. We work with other coaches. Visit our website, www.thecoachingperspective.com, and thank you very much for listening today. Hopefully you have learned something new and that you will walk away with information that you can apply immediately.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.